Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program, Today's Issues, here on American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here. And Ed Vitagliano is with me this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, too. And Fred Jackson is with us. Fred's news director for American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Beautiful spring morning here.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think springtime's about arrived everywhere across the good old U.S. of A. I mean, we've got... hey, by the way, you're from Nova Scotia. When does spring arrive in Nova Scotia? Is that like July?
Usually around July, yeah.
Yeah, July, August.
July or August is spring.
They had snow last week.
What?
Yeah. In Nova Scotia, yeah.
You forget... I know you don't, Fred, because you're from there, but if... And just think, Ed, you grew up in New Hampshire.
Yes, New Hampshire,
Boston, and then New Hampshire. You were a Southerner compared to
Fred.
You're from down south.
That's right,
Fred. How much further north can you go from Nova Scotia where humans live, Fred?
Well, you can go all the way up to places like Iqaluit. Into the Northwest Territories, the Yukon.
Yeah, but north of you there, there's no north of Nova Scotia. There's a little bit
of Quebec, northern Quebec.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yukon. That's where Yukon Cornelius was from, wasn't it? That was the. You guys recognize that name, Yukon Cornelius?
I don't.
That's from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the little animated thing. Remember, Yukon Cornelius.
That film really impacted your life, didn't it?
It did.
Ed's favorite movies.
I was not allowed to play in any reindeer games. It's kind of a painful chapter of my life.
All right, Ed, tell folks how they can engage this show on, as you call it, That Their Internet.
That Their Internet. You can go to either Facebook or YouTube. Type in Today's Issues and click through, and you can watch. Well, you can watch Tim and I. Fred is in Studio Venus. He is quarantined.
Uh-huh.
No, actually just separated. We tried to keep a distance, and in this studio we could not keep the recommended 6-foot distance with four of us in here, including Brent Creeley, our producer. So we stuck Fred and then Steve Jordahl for the last half hour. They go into a different studio. I'm not sure when we'll be kind of allowed to have us all in one studio again.
Pretty soon, I think we have the three of us or four of us back here in the studio again. All right, Fred, what's leading the news?
Well, in kind of a broad sense, the headline I think today is Americans are getting restless. You know, I think the president has praised Americans for cooperating for the most part in staying at home, the 6-foot distance, shutting the businesses down, all of that. But, you know, a lot of folks, particularly in states that have not had the impact that, you know, we're seeing in New York and some of the northeastern states, they're ready to get back to work. Now, we've seen protests in Michigan last week, several other locations. On the weekend, in California, people by the thousands, the temperature got up into the 70s, the 80s in California, by the thousands, they didn't care what Governor Newsom was saying. They went to the beach, Newport Beach. Pictures there, just thousands of people.
You're saying it was closed?
It was closed. The beaches... California's had some pretty stiff restrictions in all of this, Governor Newsom. And folks, look, they want to get back to work. That's what a lot of these protests have been about. Want to get back to work. We're ready to get back to work. They believe, I think, one of two things.
Who's they?
They, working Americans, who have lost their jobs in particular because of this, or who have been furloughed or whatever the case may be. They are coming to the point, I think, of one of two conclusions. Number one, they don't think this pandemic was as bad as the experts said it was going to be. Or number two, okay, we've obeyed the rules, the regulations, the restrictions, but we think the worst is behind us. We are ready to get back to work. So I think going forward, I think through the month of May now, May 1st on Friday, that you're going to see a greater push. Now, you do have some governors that are announcing, state of Mississippi, Texas. Governor of Texas has a news conference today where they're going to announce, I think you're going to start to see restaurants opening more across the country, again, with the exception being New York, you know, on a limited basis, that kind of thing. But we're just seeing an anxiousness to put this behind us. Let's get back to work.
Ed?
Well, I think that's right. I think that, you know, most Americans were okay with flattening the curve for 15 days, even 30 days. And I just think people are ready to get back to work. I'm kind of surprised about the restaurant thing. I would think that would probably one of the, be the last to open back up. But I will say this, I need a haircut. And so somebody's going to have to do something. Someone's going to have to go out on a limb and open up a hair salon. So I
need some spinach artichoke dip. You need a haircut? We all have our needs in this time of national sacrifice.
That's right.
Did you see Burger King's commercial?
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. They said Burger King's, the commercial is something to the effect, Americans, it is your patriotic duty to sit on the couch. And we at Burger King want to help you by delivering. I just thought that was...
I have seen some ads. Yeah. I didn't see that Burger King ad, but I am surprised. I mean, Taco Bell, I think. How do fast food places make money by delivering?
Now, I don't know. Maybe they put a charge on there.
They tack on something?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Because it just seems it's already fairly cheap food. How in the world they... Yeah. Deliver to your door.
You know, to your point, Fred, I think, you know, Georgia, isn't Georgia?
Yes.
Haven't they swung the doors wide open back to everything?
They certainly have opened the door wider than a lot of other states. Governor Kemp there, remember, he was criticized last week by the president as going too fast, too far. But he's
after
full
steam
ahead.
After the president told him to deliberate.
Yeah.
President sent double messages right there.
But he
didn't tell Georgia to liberate. He was talking about other three states. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think Georgia is the test case, so to speak, to see what happens, if anything, to spike the coronavirus hospitalizations.
Yes.
Right. If that in fact happens, it probably will happen to a certain extent. But as long as it doesn't just skyrocket, I think a lot of people are going to look around and say, you know, maybe our states need to get back to more like what Georgia's doing. You know, Fred, you mentioned in our show meeting this morning, the prep meeting we have for this program, and we do that, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, we prep.
Yes, we prep. You mentioned some statistic that you discovered.
I'm just looking, and I encourage people to go to this website, World O Meter, and they track.
That sounds like a ride at Disney World.
World O Meter, yeah.
The World O Meter.
Hold on.
Don't miss the World O Meter ride. Go ahead.
And I'm always hesitant to use the term only here. But there have been just over 55,000 deaths as of this morning across the United States, all right? So I've been looking at, and obviously New York is just over 22,000 of that 55, but there are about 9 states that account for about 42,000 of the 55,000 deaths. And most of those states are in the Northeast. You just take... a 50-mile radius around the Empire State Building. So that takes in New Jersey, eastern New Jersey, you know, people commute from there into New York City. South part of Connecticut, people commute down.
Southeast part of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and then you stretch out there to the island to the east there, all of this New York. You're talking about, and I just, New Jersey plus New York is, as of this morning, 28,000 deaths. And you add Connecticut, another about 2,000. So 30,000 from those three states.
Over 50% of all cases.
Yes, sir. So that is why, and then you look at a state like Arkansas, they've had 50 deaths in the whole state. I think it's South Dakota that's still single digit this morning. So that is why you cannot think in your mind, because New York is getting so much of the attention, people start to think, well, that's the way it is in my state. No, it's not. It is very, very different as you move across the country. Even in California, California has a population of 40 million people. They've had 1,720 deaths in a state of 40 million. That has more people than the whole country of Canada in that state.
Mm-hmm.
So it is different. So when you talk about the Georgias, you talk about the South Dakotas and others, it hasn't impacted them that way. And there's also, as of this morning, questions being raised by some in the medical community. I think Sandy dealt with this, Sandy Rios, this morning a little bit. There's two doctors that held a news conference late last week. They are ER doctors in California. They've been looking at the data, doctors Erickson and also a Dr. Mashi. They are ER doctors. They've been looking at this. One of the interesting things they said were, we're dealing more with fear than with fact right now. Now, this is their opinion. So I want to play you a little bit. This is going to be cut number two, Brent, of Dr. Mashi and what he has to say. It's an opinion from medical professionals. They are seeing things very differently than a Dr. Fauci. Cut number two.
Do we need to still shelter in place? Our answer is emphatically no. Do we need businesses to be shut down? Emphatically, no. Do we need to test them and get them back to work? Yes, we do. The secondary effects that we went over, the child abuse, alcoholism, loss of revenue, all these are, in our opinion, a significantly more detrimental thing to society than a virus that has proven similar in nature to the seasonal flu we have every year.
I understand that you guys are seeing different drawing different conclusions from the same data. Why is that? That's my question.
Because we're actually seeing the patients. Dr. Fauci hasn't seen a patient for 20 years. I'm just saying, it's in general, a lot of the figureheads are not, it's like the general contractor versus the sub. He's not seeing patients. He's in an ivory tower.
Wow.
They said a lot.
Yeah, that I watched that whole thing. That was... How long was it?
About 52, 53 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, roughly that.
You can find that anywhere, I guess.
It's on YouTube.
Or Google, or somebody stops it.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube, but do we have that? Can you post that on our Facebook page, Brent? Brent, our producer, I'm talking to him. We can post that a link to that on our Facebook, Today's Issues, those two. I watched that whole thing, and... very impressed by those guys. Those doctors, they were medical doctors in California, and they were, you know, obviously willing to go on the record. They felt so strongly about their what they were seeing. I was one of those who I think we all were here on this panel, but who said let's participate in the, as you said, Ed, 30-day. I was willing to go to the end of April, but that's it. After that, I would say you flatten the curve, right? And even if you haven't,
right,
flatten the curve. Your choices now are continue to quote flatten the curve, or we go into a second Great Depression,
right?
And all the ramifications that means, which are far more dangerous, I guess you could say, all the fallout from going into a depression, than and we're already devastated, the economy is, from, but you can come back from it, I think, in 6 months or so. But you can if you keep on extending these,
right,
all these regulations to stay at home and all this stuff.
So, first of all, I do want to make mention of the fact we are having some problems with our Facebook feed. So we have a number of people who are commenting on that. We're trying to figure that out. Okay, Brent,
should be fixed now. We're working on it, but should be fixed.
Okay, all right. So I want to let you know on Facebook that we hear you. Help us help you. So anyway, we're trying to get that fixed. Here's the thing I was going to say, Tim, is that, you know, when this first started and the economy started being shell-shocked because of, you know, massive numbers of people going on unemployment, the reason we could be optimistic once this is over is because these aren't system problems. These aren't systemic problems for the economy. There was no, you know, stock market crash like in 1929. This is something that was, as been described, a black swan event. And so the expectation is once this is over, we get going back and the economy's strong, it'll bounce back eventually. But to your point, the longer this goes, the more it becomes a systemic problem. In other words, you have small businesses that never come back, okay? Not small businesses that had to close for 30 days and then they can reopen. You're going to have situations where people who work for big companies, their jobs are gone. And yeah, so that becomes a more longer lasting issue.
You know, think about what most of us, if you've lived long enough, have experienced one time or another financial pressures in life, right? You know what that does to just one person when you have the constant stress of maybe being unemployed, no income, and you got three children, and what that may do to your relationship with your wife, or if you're susceptible to alcohol or drug abuse, or you know what I'm saying? Compound that by millions and millions and millions of people, and literally, you can see the oftentimes maybe unseen consequences of economic pressures and stress. So I'm just saying all those things, and I'm not the first one to say that, but you can't go on, I say much longer, I would say this week, without opening up the country again. Of course, that's up to each governor to decide. But I'm just saying, if you don't, then what the expression that the president used a few weeks ago, the cure becomes, let's see, what is it? What did he say? The cure becomes worse than the disease. You are entering into that world.
Right.
And these two doctors, as part of their 52-minute video, their news conference, the other thing that they mentioned that they're very concerned about is medical people. During the course of the last 4 to 6 weeks, many hospitals have stopped elective surgery. People, on top of that, people have been scared. People are having heart problems. People need cancer treatments. All of those sorts of things. Our medical system has almost been put on hold to deal with the coronavirus. And these doctors are saying, you know, when the history books are written of this period, we may see a huge error in that we stopped all of this other medical treatment in order to deal with this out of, and they mentioned the word fear. A lot of the policy, in their opinion, is being driven by fear rather than fact.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So the president's called it quits on the daily press conferences, right?
Yeah, at the very least, he's going to make a limited appearance. But Friday, you know, we've been used now to an hour and a half briefing with him carrying most of it. Friday, he was very brief, and I heard him quoted. I did not hear him say this, but he was quoted as saying he's not sure it's worth him being out there in front every day. So you may see a change in that.
Yeah. What happened last week, and don't misunderstand me, folks, I voted for President Trump, and I like his policies. But like I said with Governor Cuomo last week, when Governor Cuomo told people if they don't like being unemployed, get an essential job. Just a terrible thing for a governor to say out loud. What Governor Cuomo experienced there was he foot in mouth because you know what? You talk too much.
Right.
And that will happen to all of us, right? If you talk too much, you're eventually going to stick your foot in your mouth. And that's what happened to President Trump. Wednesday or Thursday when he talked about injecting?
I think it was Thursday.
Maybe it was Wednesday and then Thursday was the fall. I don't know. Maybe it was Thursday. Anyway, injecting disinfectant. He didn't say go infect disinfectant, but he was doing a spur of the moment, basically think out loud.
Right.
Thing. Well, you don't do that. That's not wise, especially right. When you're dealing with health concerns and medical issues, right? So the press jumped all over that, and I think that was when President Trump decided to quit doing these days. I think it's good that he's stopping it. I said this two or three weeks ago. It was getting repetitive and redundant, and also he was going in there. And again, I love President Trump, but it seemed like to me he was some of it was unnecessarily picking fights with the media.
Right.
All right. Now, I believe in fighting the media back, and President Trump does it better than anybody has, and he needs to call him out, but it was almost like he was looking for a fight. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was wise. Less is more in this case, and come back, and now if you got a major announcement to make, the president should absolutely do a press conference or do a presentation from the White House. But there's no need in these hour and a half, 2 hour, you know, a sparring contest with Jim Acosta and every single day.
Vice President Pence is head of the task force. Let him do it, like you said, unless there's something special.
Yeah, but when Donald Trump's on the stage, there's nobody else that matters.
Right.
So I think, and the president last week decided to make a statement and then leave the room and let the others handle the factual information that other than what he had to say at his opening remarks. So I think it's a good idea that, there was something on the news last night about you can be overexposed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's something to be said for the president now to only deliver. But you got to keep in mind this, too. On a practical level, the president is trapped inside the White House.
Right.
Just like you're trapped in your home.
Yeah.
Except guess what? You can go to Lowe's.
Yeah.
All right? Or you can go to Kroger. President can't go to Lowe's. Can't go to Kroger. If he were to leave the White House at all, maybe he could go to Camp David. I don't know. But he's going to be just slammed for not, if he were to go to his place in Florida, for example, you know, they would just crush him for leaving.
Yes, during a crisis.
Even during a crisis. So he's trapped. He's a social animal. The guy loves to get out and be with the people. Loves to go to his place in Florida and get on the golf course to relieve a little stress. He is just trapped 24/7
right
inside the White House. There are worse places to be quarantined, I understand that, than the White House.
Right.
But still, for a guy like him, it's got to be driving him crazy.
Yeah. No crowds, no campaigning.
Yeah, that just stuck there. I'd get on Marine One and fly around town. Just for fun. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman from American Family Radio and American Family Association. On our tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, coming up in September, we are going to explore how the coronavirus impacted early American history. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy that if you'll join us for one of those tours. I'm just kidding. It's going to be a coronavirus-free tour. Coming up in September, we're going to have a great time. September is a nice weather month in Virginia and D.C. So if you would like to look at the itinerary and all that we'll be doing and seeing and exploring in September, my wife and I, Allison, we will be leading the tours. Just go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Historian Stephen McDowell will be with us all along our time together in Williamsburg and Washington. SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. The threat to our civil liberties is a clear and present danger to our nation. We have been documenting many of these threats on ToddStarnes.com. Pastors threatened with arrest, gun stores ordered to shut down, businesses closed. In San Diego, a $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail for anyone who violates the stay-at-home order there, $5,000 in Washington, D.C. Meanwhile, some states are refusing to allow any non-essential businesses from opening until summertime. The governor of Michigan went so far as to issue an emergency order banning citizens from planting gardens. All nurseries, garden centers shut down by the state government. Understand this, folks. President Trump has not shut down a single business across the Fruited Plain, but the governors have, and so have many cities and towns. So if you want to reopen the nation, don't call the White House, call the State House. As always, let not your heart be troubled, America. Be prudent, but don't panic. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed and Fred, thank you for listening. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Brent, did our Facebook feed get fixed? Yes. Did you fix that or did it?
No, sir. Our guys in IT fixed it. There's a bigger problem way over my head. They fixed it.
Above your pay grade?
Above my head.
Above your head?
Yes, sir.
So it's fixed?
It's fixed. Yes, sir.
Ed, you wanted to comment on what Dr. Burks said about the president's musings the other day on...
Yeah, we're trying to find the...
We have a clip of her.
You do? Okay.
Yes. Brent, it's cut number 6. Have a listen. She was challenged by reporters in the wake of what the president had to say on Thursday.
I think the media is very slicey and dicey about how they put sentences together in order to create headlines. I think, you know, we know from millennials and other studies that some people may only read the headlines, and if there's not a graphic, they're not going to look any further than that.
Yeah, one of the other remarks to the context of what we're talking about, she said sometimes just before we go out on that stage at the White House, we kind of throw things around. And the president, he muses. He thinks those over and chews those over as he's walking out to the stage. And so this is not something that's down on paper.
I wonder if that makes anybody nervous at the White House.
Yeah. No kidding.
Huh? Yeah, she was essentially saying he was spitballing.
Yes.
About what we had just told him before he came out, but he did it in front of the media. And that's the media, since they're playing gotcha, they're going to say, oh, he's talking about injecting chloride.
Yeah, he was musing. She called it musings or wanderings, which isn't wise to do on, you know, if you're talking about predicting a football game, that's okay.
Right.
But what happened was when he talked about the ultraviolet?
Ultraviolet rays.
And they must have been talking about this, you know, the potential for this. But then, you know, that's something I would say. I would say it, you know, waiting in line at Subway with my buddy.
Right.
Now, I wonder if they could ever create something that you could inject into your, you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
like a disinfectant. You know,
it works on the outside. Then, how would you get that on the inside?
So, then I would say I'll take cheddar on that tuna.
Yeah.
you know, and then we'd go on with our day. But, you know, but you can't. And my buddy might say, well, you're nuts. You know,
yeah.
But you know, that's what the president, he had that kind of conversation, except he did it out loud. It was, in my view, it was a mistake. I think he may not, he said it was sarcasm, and maybe it was sarcasm. But, you know, he just was crucified. Of course, he's beat up every day, right?
It's shocking.
It doesn't matter. But there was some context to what he was saying, which what he was not saying. Everybody get some life, like the media is presenting it. Everybody go out and get some Lysol and chug it down.
Yeah,
you know that's.
Yeah, he never said anything like that. He never said drink Clorox or
no. But that's what the media says he says.
Yes,
and that's what Dr. Burke, to her credit. Burke or Burks?
Burks.
Burks was she was defending him on that.
Right.
She was there. She had the conversation with him right before they went out on stage, and so that's why she wasn't condemning him.
I will say this as a tip of the hat to both Dr. Burks, Dr. Fauci. They are not political animals. Now, Dr. Fauci was a big Hillary Clinton supporter, etc. Now he's head of the National Institutes of Health, but they have been, as far as I can tell, very honest about the president. When the president was criticized because he quote unquote didn't do anything in February, Dr. Fauci, I heard him, he said, no, the president was getting information from us, and whenever we told him this should be done, he did it. But he was getting information from us. And
that's a liberal guy.
And that's a liberal guy. So that's what I say. Tip of the hat to Dr. Fauci and Dr. Burks. They don't have a political axe to grind like the news media. These two
and
doctors,
they're working with the president every day.
Yes.
They don't have to. They can resign.
Right.
So again, it's a lot of it is Trump derangement syndrome. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, speaking of Trump derangement syndrome, I want to play a clip of Adam Schiff, Congressman Adam Schiff of California, who led the Democrat effort to impeach the president. Now, I want you to listen to what he had to say in an MSNBC interview in the last few days. Listen very carefully, folks, and you make your assessment on Trump derangement syndrome. Cut number one.
Well, there's one thing that really, I have to say, haunts me from that trial. We knew we had to answer the question to the senators. Okay, essentially, House managers, you've proved him guilty. Does he really need to be removed? After all, we have an election in 9 months. How much damage could he really do? And we posed that question to the Senate, and we answered it by saying that he could do an awful lot of damage. But frankly, Chris, I don't think we had any idea how much damage he would go on to do in the months ahead. There are 50,000 Americans now who are dead in significant part because of his incompetence, because of his inability to think beyond himself and put the country first.
Who believes that?
Adam Schiff apparently believes
it. Let me tell you something. Excuse me for interrupting.
No, go ahead.
That is far worse, far, far worse what he just did and said than the president musing on how to... ultraviolet rays or
disinfectant.
Far worse. This and Nancy Pelosi does the same thing. They are over the top. Doesn't even begin to describe it.
There's no longer any words for these people.
Yeah,
How do you how do you over the top, outrageous? These words don't do it justice anymore.
No, they're accusing the president of being responsible for all the deaths in America from coronavirus.
Yes.
So, do you accept that? If you accept that, then there's no point in us even considering this conversation.
Right. You can't have a conversation with people like that.
No. So this is a guy who's already made the judgment that the president's guilty of 50,000 plus deaths, and he's the one that's going to objectively find out do the investigations of the coronavirus situation. So
you know here's the thing, I'm assuming the host at MSNBC didn't challenge Adam Schiff on that remark, because I think if I was hosting that program, I would have said what we just talked about. Wait a minute now. The president was following the direction of Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx.
Right.
They have said that.
Right.
He was following the advice of the experts to the T.
Let me tell you something. There is nothing more that the president of the United States, whether he was Barack Obama or Donald Trump, could have done differently to stop the spread of this virus from coming into the USA. It's all around the world. Are you telling me that Boris Johnson is responsible for all the deaths, the Prime Minister of Great Britain? All the deaths responsible for all the all the different presidents or leaders in the world are all responsible for the deaths from the coronavirus in their countries. If you based on this logic. Again, this Trump derangement syndrome, they just want to blame President Trump. I don't see how he could have done anything differently, except maybe not allowing the planes in from when he stopped the planes coming in from China. Nancy Pelosi said that was no good over the weekend. She said, I don't give him credit for that.
Right.
Basically. So whatever Nancy Pelosi, whatever Schiff says, whatever these people, it doesn't matter. It's all President Trump's fault. Whatever death occurs, it's all President Trump's fault, according to them.
I heard Dr. Fauci say, we said, stop allowing flights from China. The president did that. We said, came back a week later or whatever it was. I think we better do that for Europe. The president said, okay. He stopped the flights coming from Europe.
Can you imagine that decision?
Then the UK. They said,
yeah.
I think we need to cut them from the UK too. And the president, okay. I heard Dr. Fauci say, everything we asked him to do, he immediately did it.
And he's embraced the 30-day.
He's done all that.
Flatten the curve.
Yeah.
So what hasn't the president done that the scientific medical community has asked him to do?
The only thing that they can possibly say is, we didn't have enough ventilators or masks for this novel coronavirus. Okay. And I guess you could say, yeah, the national stockpile was low, but it has been low under Bush, Obama, and Trump. Nobody saw this coming. You can't blame. Like you said, if it was President Obama in office, I wouldn't blame him either. Okay. You cannot expect a president to be prepared for something nobody saw coming.
Listen, if the Democrats and the media could just say, we disagree with President Trump on these things, these policy positions, which often separates Democrats from Republicans, right?
Right.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fair game. That's politics. That's America. Let's go. Let's see who has the best ideas, who wins. No, they can't do that. They can't have that debate or that discussion and win on the merits of that alone. They've got to go into constant blaming President Trump for everything wrong in the world. And it's just, as I say, over the top. Doesn't, I don't know what phrase you use beyond that.
Well, Fred, this is just going to be just a, I just can't wait for the Adam Schiff show when they have these hearings on the coronavirus. Just cannot wait for that political theater. I'm going to enjoy it.
It's going to, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely being sarcastic.
You're using sarcasm.
It's going to be impeachment part two.
Yep.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Now, Schiff comes from California. It is kind of interesting that his governor in California, Gavin Newsom, who is a Democrat, not a big fan of the president, but when it comes to his statements, public statements about the cooperation he received from the president in Washington during the early stages of this, I want you to have a listen to the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, praising President Trump. It's cut number five.
I also want to just thank, yesterday announced that the president was extending support for new swabs to get more specimens, increase our testing capacity. We got word today that 100,000 swabs that he committed this week, 90,000 are arriving, and we'll start to distribute them in the next day or so. That's very encouraging. I know it's not the 100,000, but they told me they'll make up for that 10,000 next week when the 250,000 arrives. So conversation, commitment, promise made, promise kept, 90,000 on the way, be distributed tomorrow.
When did he say that?
He said this is the testing. I think this has been quite recent in the last several days.
Well, and Governor Cuomo, now President Trump and Governor Cuomo have had their differences.
They treat each other like New Yorkers.
Yes, yes, they do. That's a perfect way of putting it. But he has on several occasions thanked the president for being there and discussing and providing what his state of New York needed.
They call him, President Trump calls him Andrew. they've evidently known each other for a long, long time on a personal level because, I mean, Donald Trump was a leading New York businessman, and the governor of New York, Cuomo's been there a long time. So Donald, and I'm sure they go by Donald and
Andrew.
But it's just, you know, they'll slam each other.
Yeah,
and then they'll say, well, they asked me about my brother, how my brother's doing, and you know, Cuomo was saying, talking about Donald Trump asking about Andrew,
about Chris.
Yeah, but anyway, it's just funny how they smack each other down, and then they say, oh, you know, he's doing a great job on some, you know, I mean, it's just how, I guess how New Yorkers.
Steve Jordahl just texted me and said that Gavin Newsom made those comments on Thursday.
Thursday.
So it's just, wow. Just talking.
Goes his chance at winning the Democratic nomination. Hey, did y'all see where this Democrat state legislator from Michigan was censured? She's the one that came to the White House, and she thanked President Trump for saving her life.
She had the coronavirus.
She's an African-American lady from Michigan, and now I hope everybody's heard about that. She came to the White House. She thanked the president for mentioning, what was it?
The chloroquine.
Yeah, and so she says that saved my life.
Yes.
And for that, just doing that, she was set to be censured by the Democrat Party of Michigan.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
That's right. That's right.
So
same thing happened with a legislator in Georgia, Jones, African-American legislator there, Democrat.
Oh, who actually endorsed the president.
Endorsed the president.
2020.
We want you out of here, Democrat friends.
You know, the Democrat Party used to be dominated by liberals. Liberals were, you could reason with liberals. Some don't misunderstand me. Many of them are unreasonable. But I'm talking about the old school Democrats who were liberal on a lot of...
Henry Hyde, people like that.
No, he was a Republican, conservative. You're talking about Tip O'Neill.
Tip O'Neill, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But those kinds of people, what Joe Biden used to be, okay, before he had to sell his soul to the... Okay, the liberals, they don't have control. Well, maybe it's 50-50 in the Democratic Party. They've been taken over, as has the media, as has Hollywood. The old liberals are like Alan Dershowitz, ACLU types, civil libertarians, free speech people who, you know, just wanted everybody's idea to be heard. Granted, they were liberals, don't misunderstand me, and they had they were at least willing to accept other people and listen to other people who were conservative, who were more traditional, and you could have debates and discussions and so forth and so on. I know my dad appeared many times on the old Crossfire show on CNN, where they would have Pat Buchanan and then they'd have a liberal guy, and they'd go back and forth. But at the end of the program, they shook hands and moved on to the next topic the next day. The new Democrat Party, media establishment, and Hollywood's elites, they are dominated now by the progressives. That's different than a liberal. And now, are progressives liberal? Yes. But are all liberals progressives? No. And I would call them secular progressives, God haters in many ways. And they don't believe in free speech. For here's two examples. The African-American legislator, Democrat from Michigan, she just says, hey, I want to thank President Trump for mentioning this. It saved my life. You would think everybody would go, well, I don't necessarily buy that, but okay, she's an American. She can thank whoever she wants to, and I'm glad she made it. No. You must shut your mouth, woman.
Right.
And sit down, and don't you ever dare say anything positive about President Trump. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to censure you. We're going to cancel you because of this. That's where the modern-day progressive movement is. They want that you disagree with them. They want to shut you up, shut you down, and cancel you.
Right.
By canceling you, I mean as if you didn't exist. And so that's what makes them very much more dangerous than yesteryear's Democrat Party. As I've said before, if these people ever get in charge of the executive branch of the federal government,
yes,
i.e. the presidency, and mm-hmm. all that supervises, and they also have the House and the Senate, then they will feel free and unshackled to come after conservatives and mm-hmm. Christians mm-hmm. in a very aggressive way, not on ideas, but I'm talking about shut you down.
Yeah.
Just like the big tech companies oftentimes do with messages they don't like.
Bingo.
They take them. Google Play takes the interview with Joe Biden, with the mother of Tara Reid mm-hmm. and Larry King. We'll talk about that more later. They remove that off the. They want to cancel you. That's why conservatives are the ones who are removed from Facebook and YouTube mm-hmm. and these other companies. It's only conservatives.
Yeah.
Their messages and Christians. Their yeah. messages. So, mm-hmm. If they were left to their own device and there's nothing to check them, then there's a reason why Hillary Clinton says that half of Donald Trump's voters are a basket of deplorables. I've almost got her quoted right there. As I mentioned last week, well, what do you do with deplorables? Okay? You've got to get rid of them, right?
Yeah.
They're not to be tolerated or listened to. So what do? You say, okay, Christian radio stations, guess what? We're going to take away your license because you're a deplorable and you're not worthy to be heard. We're going to cancel you. Okay, Christian television stations. Okay, churches that talk about homosexuality. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to cancel you. We're going to take away your 501c3. And furthermore, we're going to be listening in to any more of right. your sermons on this topic. Those kinds of things are coming down the road if, in fact, these people are ever to have universal authority at the federal government.
Well, just think level. About the story we dealt with last week with this conference coming up at Harvard in
right.
June.
They're going to go after homeschoolers.
Yeah.
They have to, and they've said it, right?
They did. Yep. They did. They said they want the child really doesn't belong to the parents. It belongs to the state because the state licenses marriages. And we think that kids should be under the control, and they didn't use this term, of the propaganda machine of public education. So we can instill in them their definition of tolerance. Et cetera.
And Tim, what you were discussing, some people may say, oh, come on, they'll never do that with churches. Well, I want to remind our listeners, it wasn't too long ago in Houston, Texas, the lesbian mayor of the city, mm-hmm. after the city passed a non-discrimination policy, actually demanded, if you remember this, demanded sermon notes from the pastors.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
She demanded the sermon notes from the pastors to see whether or not they had violated the law. Now, Fortunately, there are good, solid Christian legal firms that defended those pastors. She had to walk that back. But Tim, your point is, what happens if that power and authority that the federal government has, the IRS, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, which grants us here at AFA, American Family Radio, licenses to have our radio network, what happens if they start coming after us?
Well,
that's a lot of power.
Oh, and they will. And they will. Mark my word, they will. And there's precedent for this. A few years ago, you remember Lois Lerner, that name?
Yes.
At the Internal Revenue Service. Remember, it was exposed that she and her some of her colleagues there were targeting conservative groups, and she was never really held to account for that. She pleaded the Fifth Amendment.
Yes, before Congress.
Yeah, she was a public servant who said, "I don't want to talk about what I've done. I'm going to plead the Fifth Amendment." I don't see how
this was under the Obama administration.
Yeah, exactly. That was one thing that would happen to come to light. But those are the type of things that if these people get in ultimate authority and control, they will do unfettered, and because you have to cancel out the deplorables.
Listen, we've mentioned this a number of times on the air. Catholic Charities in a number of states forced to close down their adoption ministries because states like Massachusetts, like Illinois, several others had passed non-discrimination policies, and they would not grant an exemption for churches or church ministries. Catholic Charities says we do not have adoption for homosexual couples.
Because it's a violation of our religious beliefs.
Our church teaching.
Right.
In Illinois, Catholic Charities had to shut down because they said, people asked them, why didn't you just take Illinois to court? And they said, well, we figured we would have won, but it would have taken 3 or 4 years and we would have lost the ministry anyway because we would not have been able to operate for 3 or 4 years because they had closed us down. So these kinds of, even if they don't win all the time, those kinds of progressives can still shut ministries down.
And they're vindictive.
And they are vindictive.
They are vindictive because you would say, okay, well, aren't there other places where gay couples can adopt if they want to? Yes, there's many. No, they don't want that. They want to close the Christian adoption agency down.
Right.
Because they don't.
They won't agree to
surrender the Bible, their biblical convictions.
Christian bakers, Christian photographers, all these kind of things that we've Christian florists.
That's what I'm talking. If they were really live and let live people, they would say, "Listen, we got 1,000 bakeries we can buy a cake from here for our wedding." Why? No, we want to go after Jack Phillips. We want to go after the Christian cake maker. Because we want to ruin his life. That's why we want to do this.
And then Jack Phillips won his case before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right.
And what did Colorado do? They turned right around and they said, okay, now we're going after you for not having a transgender cake.
Right. Right.
Okay? Talk about vindictiveness.
Yeah. So this is what we're up against. And that's why it was so important that President Trump won in 2016. Otherwise, it would have been Hillary Clinton, and she would have put her thugs on this
and judges,
and it would have been
game over.
Game over. It would have been game over, and I called it at the time a reprieve for us. Fred, thank you for your 27 words during the show. But Ed and I had so much to say.
I know.
Thank you, Brother Fred.
You bet.
Okay. Steve Jordahl will be with us in 5 minutes. We're going to take a break for news, and we shall return. Hope you'll stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.